Isaiah chapter number 40. Say, ever have my cup back? Told you. All right. You're doing pretty good today. Your wife must have had a talk with you. Amen. Amen. Brother Zev is like the average man. We always get the last word in every argument. Yes, ma'am. All right, that's the last word. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 29 is where we're going to pick up. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. Use the Bible, God's holy word, to gird us up, particularly in these unprecedented times. I'm glad, like Paul said, on that ship in the midst of a storm, that I can believe God. Now help us. We pray that as you've done in our services before, that today you do it again. If somebody doesn't know Jesus, might today be the day that one comes to a saving knowledge of the truth. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Isaiah's name, who means salvation, is of the Lord. The Lord is our salvation, is helping us in Isaiah chapter 40. Chapter 40 represents a transition in this book where he begins, if you would, with confrontation and moves in chapter 40 to consolation. Aren't you glad that the God we serve is not only a God that meets us with confrontation, but a God that in our need meets us with consolation. Amen. He knows when he gets on us, we also need him to help us and encourage us. He encouraged them in Isaiah chapter 40 by telling them to behold your God. By the way, in our darkest hour, we need to behold our God. Amen. Our eyes need to be turned to him. Our eyes need to be looking on him. Our attention needs to be focused on him. And that was Isaiah's exhortation to the people of God. And he was speaking primarily to those Jews who were witnessing God's judgment because of their disobedience. But he looked forward to Jews who would go into Babylonian captivity. They would experience their toughest trials. They would experience a most foreign predicament. They would experience a most pagan leadership and culture. But eventually they would be released from there. They would go back to Jerusalem, to return to a land that was in shambles. It would be known by ruin, by wreckage, and they would be known as a remnant. They would be a small group of people, hopeless and helpless, thinking in their minds they could never, ever be restored. By the way, that is the lie of the devil. That is the scheme of the evil one. That is the idea of the tempter, to make you think you can never be restored. I want to remind you this morning that our God is a God of restoration. Our God is a God of reconciliation. Our God is a God of healing. By the way, somebody's thinking this morning, will things ever get back? Will the world ever get back? Will our situation ever get back? Will my finances ever get back? Will my health ever get back? Let me tell you something. As long as you got God, you can get back. And the good thing about God, he doesn't just get you back to where you were. He takes you further than you've ever been. And he says, Jews, I want you to know I will get you back. There is a better day. Joy will come in the morning. The best is yet to come. Do you believe that this morning? The best is yet to come. You say, I can't see it. I can't understand it. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. I can't envision it. That's why his ways are above our ways. I don't know how it's possible. With God, all things are possible. Nobody's ever explained it. You can't explain thank God. You got to believe him. You got to stand on his word. You've got to believe in his character. You've got to trust in his track record. He will do it again. And so he asked these series of questions. Have you not known? Verse 21, have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? We summarize these questions in the statement, oh, you didn't know? And I wonder, between this Sunday and last Sunday, did you forget what you already knew? Hebrews makes this statement. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I could tell you, my friend, that if you are falling in your Christian life, it is probably not over something you've never learned before. It is over something you've heard, taken for granted, and now have forgotten. In these last days, we don't need a new revelation. We need to be reminded of what we've already known. We already know God's good. Hadn't he proven that before? We already know that God's great. Hadn't he proven that before? We already know this Bible works. Hasn't it proven itself before? We already know the devil is a liar. Hadn't he proven himself before? We already know that the Holy Spirit empowers us. Hadn't he proven that before? We need to be reminded. They were acting like they didn't know. About what? His exalted position. He sits high. Aren't you glad nobody sits higher than God does? His exclusive power. There is nobody like him. His eternal personality. He, my friend, is a God of a faithful presence, of a fathomless perception. We learned last week that when you talk about God, there is nothing that you can hide from him. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows your budget better than you know it. He knows your medical history better than you know it. He knows your family curses better than you know it. He knows your enemies better than you know them. He knows this pandemic better than the scientists know it. And I'm here to tell you, he knows everything. But not only does he know, my friend, your specific adversity, but he also knows your sinful acts. He knows when you mess up. He knows when you think wrong. He knows when you go to wrong places, when you say the wrong words, when you wear the wrong clothes, when you do the wrong things. No use in hiding things from God, because nothing can be hidden from God. But the good thing about God is, not only does he know everything, but his judgment and his understanding is past searching. He never gets weary. He never faints. He never gets tired. Somebody say amen that God doesn't get weary. Somebody say amen that God doesn't get tired, that God doesn't faint. There is no searching of his understanding. He is past finding out. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. By the way, it didn't even say he believes it. It said he says it. That's why he's a fool, because he says something that doesn't make sense. Listen to me. Creation reveals the trueness of God. The sun and the moon reveal the existence of God. Your conscience reveals the existence of God. The Bible reveals the existence of God. The person and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ reveals the existence of God. The Holy Spirit's ministry inside of us reveals the existence of God. I would submit to you, there is no human being alive that in his right mind can deny the existence of God. It is in us. It is instinctive in us. We know who he is because he made us. We got our life from him, our soul from him. We breathe and have our being because of him. And ladies and gentlemen, we might as well acknowledge that he's not just the big daddy upstairs or a supreme being or the man upstairs. He is God Almighty, and he is in control. Now today, as we close, not only his exalted position, his exclusive power, his eternal personality, but fourthly, his enabling provision. His enabling provision. Let me preface this point by saying, God has what you need. God has what you need. Let's make it personal. God has what I need. Now, if you're just going to be honest today, raise your hand if you admit, Pastor, I need something. Come on now. I need something. I want to tell you something. God has what you need. Write this down, if you would. His available sustenance. His available sustenance. Look at verse number 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Now, I want you to notice his available sustenance comes, if you would. And by the way, before you even write that down, write this also down. anemic status. Now, did you write available sustenance down? But write anemic status. Now, medically speaking, when you're anemic, you're lacking iron, and so your bones and your body become weak. But how many of you know that anemia doesn't just exist in the physical realm? It happens spiritually, right? Now, listen to me. Sometimes the circumstances of life will cause us to be able to exhibit some spiritual anemia. How are those words classified in Isaiah chapter 40? Look at it. Faint and no might. Those are the statements there in verse number 29. Faint and no might. Anybody in the building ever been faint before? Anybody in the building ever been indicative of no might? By the way, that happens. That happens. It's a part of life. You have people who get faint and have no might. And you have people who say they don't get faint and have no might. And the difference between one and the other is one telling the truth, one telling a lie. All right? Because all of us at times get faint and have no might. Our anemic status is met by his available sustenance. What does he do for the faint? He gives them a powerful supply. Look at verse number 29. He giveth power to the faint. Aren't you glad that when we are weak, then he is strong? Listen what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. His strength is made perfect in weakness. Look what God said to him. My grace is sufficient for you. Aren't you glad that grace is sufficient? James said he giveth more grace. Amen. Aren't you glad that he has the grace that we need? By the way, you couldn't get saved without grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But aren't you glad that grace did not stop at your salvation? Titus said this, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. If that's all he said, it would have been good, but he didn't stop there. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, my friend, grace didn't stop at salvation. That same grace that saved you is the grace that will let you serve. That same grace that saved you, let you serve, is the grace that helps you sing. That grace that helps you serve and sing and get saved is the grace that helps you stand in that grace, and you supplied in that grace, and you're sustained in that grace, and you suffer through that grace. Somebody say amen. And you just speak with grace. Listen to me. That's why Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Now listen what Isaiah said. He giveth power to the faint. Listen, our trials will weaken us. The devil will weaken us. The flesh will weaken us. The world will weaken us. But aren't you glad that God will find you in your faintness? He will find you in your weakness, and he giveth power to the faint. Not only his power supply, but notice his perpetual strength. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. I don't know about you. I not only need power when I'm faint, I need strength when I have no might. And let me tell you something. Isaiah wanted these people to know, whose heads were hanging low and their knees had become feeble. He wanted them to know, you're not going to find any help in these false deities. You're not going to find any help in these inventions like we heard Antonio speak about yesterday that man comes up with. You're not going to find the help you need in government. You're not going to find the help you need in a bank. You're not going to find the help you need in a doctor or in a lawyer. Thank God for fellowship. Thank God for brothers and sisters in Christ. But the only way a brother and a sister in Christ can help you is if he gets that help from Almighty God. She gets that help from Almighty God. What is happening in our world today? The people of God have learned to lean on crutches that can't hold them. They've learned to call on people that cannot save them. They've learned to ask for help from people that cannot supply it to them. They have look to people and they've been disappointed. There are many people today that quit church because they were let down by a Christian or let down by a preacher or let down by a pastor. You shouldn't come to church for people. You come to church for God. He will never let you down. He will never fail. He will never, my friend, not show up for you. Many times we don't show up for him, but he always shows up for us. Thank God for the available sustenance. I don't think I'm going to finish this morning, but let me give you one more thought. Not only the available sustenance for the anemic status, but I want to give you this today, an absolute struggle, an absolute struggle. Look at verse number 30, and maybe we'll close, and then I'll preach verse 31 next Sunday. Even the youth shall faint. Even the youth shall faint. He says, and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Why do you say, Pastor, an absolute struggle? Here's what Isaiah is trying to say to the people of God. Life is too rough. The world is too difficult. The flesh is too wicked. The devil is too crafty for you to think that you are going to move your way through life and never struggle. Is anybody listening to me? He said, and I want to illustrate it by telling you, even the youth shall struggle. Here's what I call unthinkable faintness. He said, even those that are young, that got the strong bodies, that will never seemingly get faint. He said, even they shall faint. And here's what he's trying to say. Don't you ever think that you're so strong, you're so mighty, you're so resilient that nothing can knock you down. My friend, none of us are immune to struggles. None of us are immune to faintness. He said there's an unthinkable faintness and an unavoidable fall, and the young men shall utterly fall. Here's what he's saying. You, my friend, without Almighty God, you will fall. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I will tell you why I want to hone in on this just for a few moments. Because I think that there's an element in Christianity of people that think, because I've been saved so long, because I'm in this church, because I've memorized this scripture, because I've accomplished this many things in my life, because I'm this age, because this has never happened to me, because I've spent so much time condemning others that it has happened to, I think it'll never happen to me. Isaiah said, listen here, you to think you all that in a bag of chips. Listen, you to think you got it going on. Listen, you to think spiritually you got it made in the shade, drinking pink lemonade. You can have the best genes. You can have no family background. You can grow up in a church all your life. You can come from a solid home. You can have everything going for you. But life is so difficult. This flesh is so wicked. That devil is such a big fat liar. This world is so anti-God. You'll wake up one day and think, never would it happen to me. You'll be faint. Never would I do it. You will fall. Greater than we are have fallen before. Better churches than we are have drifted off into worldliness and carnality. Bigger men than I am have slipped into marital infidelity. Why? They got their eyes off of God and started thinking it was all because of them. I've come to tell the people of God, let's abandon self-sufficiency. Let's divorce ourselves from thinking we're something. Let's get rid of this stuff that says I'm bigger than everything and I can do everything in my flesh. Too much Christianity is lived through the element of carnality and fleshliness. There are churches that meet every Sunday with packed crowds. There are preachers that preach for an hour. People shout and leave, say he sure did preach, and the Holy Ghost never showed up for the service because so much has become mechanical and routinistic, and we've done so much without God that we don't think we need him. I'm always amazed that Joseph and Mary went to Jerusalem for the Passover, took Jesus, finished the Passover, left back, went a whole day, and didn't even notice that he wasn't with them. You know what it tells me? You can be doing God things without having God with you. I know that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and he'll never leave you. But the active presence of God will not be available to you when you're living in sin. You can't have a filling of the Holy Spirit if you're already full of yourself. And may we stop thinking that we're too big for God and we're too big for failure. I think that's what this pandemic is showing us. It's God trying to tell us your job and your routine and your everyday things that you're so used to doing and your good health. That's why you probably been serving me, because you didn't have to trust me to do it. Now, if I move those things and I slow things down and I shut your world down, maybe you start realizing it was me all along. You got wealth because I gave you power to get wealth. You got up not because of an alarm clock. You got up because I woke you up. You sing because I put a song in your heart. You come to church because I let you come to church. You're free not because of who you voted in. You're free because of whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Even the youths, even the young men shall fail. And ladies and gentlemen, in these last days, may we all remember we are none above failure. But with God, he will sustain us. And maybe today you think, not you, it could happen to anybody. I want to share a testimony. I went to see the pulmonary doctor this week. I sat down with him. He's going over the breathing test, and he says, your lung capacity is lower than what should be, so the lungs are restricted, so that's why it's causing the chest pain, so forth. And he says, this is what we call a COVID long hauler. That means you should be past these symptoms, but some people just have them for a long time, and we'll test them in a couple months. And if it's not better, then we'll look at plans on how to live with it. When I was in the hospital, I remember asking the doctor when he came into the room. I said, doctor, can you tell me I'm going to get better? He said, no, I can't. I said, why not? He said, well, I don't know what's going to happen to you. You're a man of faith, aren't you? I said, yeah. He said, you better hope for that. I was in the doctor's office with him the other day, and I said, doc, I remember when you telling me I was getting worse and worse and worse and worse. He said, you were going down and down and down. He said, but all of a sudden, for some reason, you started getting better. And you know, I thought to myself, we know what that some reason is. We know who that some reason is. They said, I remember when I was in North Carolina, and I woke up not feeling well. I was preaching a few days before the last message I preached on March 15th. I woke up on a Friday morning, wasn't feeling well. I told my wife, I'll go up to this clinic because this was very early. They were talking about some virus. And I walked into the place, and they checked me for temperature, and they thought I had one. Then I didn't have one. They checked me for flu and strep, said, you seem to be fine. I remember the nurse that was in there. She's a young black lady. And she looked down at her skin and pointed like this. And she said, I ain't worried about it because we don't get it anyway. Of course, we've learned that black folks have gotten it worse. And then they said, if you're young, have no medical history, and now pre-existing conditions, you don't have to worry about it. You know, every once in a while, you just take statistics and just kind of chuck them out the window. Even the youth shall faint. See, it doesn't matter how healthy you are, how well you are. Something can happen to you if God allows it. So the Christian life is never meant to avoid struggles. The Christian life is meant to make sure we lean on the right one when we do struggle. And I just told the doctor, God didn't bring me this far to leave me now. I was riding later. This is not preaching, I'm just talking. The Holy Spirit said to me, this is more than physical. This is spiritual warfare. And God and I had a talk this week. And I'm convinced that Satan wants to attack the part of me that I use the most for the Lord, and that's my lungs. And this is a spiritual battle. Because I should have been past this a long time ago. But this is more than physical, it's spiritual. And you know, you might say, well, that's frustrating. No, no. No, actually, it was relieving. Because I went and picked this book up, and I read about spiritual battles in here, and I found out I've already won. Greater is he that's in me, he is in the world. I read this morning in my devotions, told Lord, give me a token for good this morning. Isaiah 54, last verse of Isaiah 54. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. So we've got to see beyond the physical. There's something spiritual going on. And I told the devil, I am committed to fight you. And if I've got to fight a little wounded for a while, that's okay. Because he giveth strength to the weak. And we're all going to have to commit to fight. The battle's not over. Amen. But the war has already been won. And until Jesus comes, we're going to press on, knowing he's in control. So the question this morning is, oh, you didn't know? Well, with Isaiah's help, you better ask somebody. Father, thank you. I pray you continue to help us. Strengthen us. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand all over the building? I'm saved and I know it. Saved and I know it. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Pastor, God spoke to me through the message this morning and encouraged me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Yes, all over the building. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We need to be strengthened. And God can do it. I want to ask you one more question. How many of you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I'm 100% sure I don't want to go to hell. If that's you, would you raise your hand? I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? God bless you. Our workers are looking over here. All right? Now, we'll make sure after the service that somebody talks to you. We'd like to help you and show you how you can know you're going to heaven. We'll get some folks to help you. Because God doesn't want you to go to hell, and he's made a way for you to go to heaven. And it's through Jesus Christ. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Why don't you pray right where you are and say, God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. Please, Lord. Please help me. And help me to trust you. Father, we thank you for your precious word. Continue to help us. Guide us. Direct us. And use the Bible as you have time and time again to remind us of what we know. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Aren't you glad you're in church? Amen. Amen.